You know, last week we started the series here, When Heaven is Silent. And this week, I did something I usually didn't do. You know, we put it on Facebook, we put it on YouTube, we put it on the church's website. Try to have you guys, different ways to watch it when you guys are away. And we've had some folks that have been shut in because of all of this, who've been watching it. And so you have an opportunity on Facebook where you can click boost it. And it doesn't cost a whole lot to kind of spread. So I did a nationwide boost just to see what would, you know, what happened. And I think at this point we got like 1,500 people looked at. And so some people started commenting, and, you know, one guy was like, "Hey, lose the mask." Well, okay. But there's a lot of comments started going on there about when heaven is silent. They're like, "Well, heaven's not silent," and they were kind of. And I know when I picked the title of this, you know, heaven is never silent. And probably the correct title should have been "When Heaven Seems Silent." But "When Heaven is Silent" is a little more provocative. You know, gets your attention a little bit more. Apparently it worked. I don't know if people listened to the whole sermon or not. Or they just saw the title and wanted to. People do that a lot. I like to comment before they even. So I don't know. But in here, "When Heaven is Silent." And I think we've all been in that place where we have felt that. And of course, last week I said this is going to be a two-part, so we're going to do the second half this morning. And of course, God does answer our prayers. Sometimes it's yes, sometimes it's no, and sometimes it's wait. And we talked about this last week. Right? I love it when God says yes. You know? When God says no, sometimes I'm a spoiled little brat and I whine. But when God says no, it's for a good reason. And sometimes God says, wait. And that's the struggle I think I have more so than all. Because when God tells us to wait, he doesn't tell us to wait. He just puts it in a situation where we're waiting. Right? You're talking about waiting for results or waiting for something to come up. And it's like, God doesn't say, okay, well, I'll tell you next Tuesday. That's not how God tells us to wait. He just says, trust me. Okay. And I'm eager and anxious. I'm still waiting for a Christmas gift that we ordered. And it's lost in the mail. Somehow it went from Ohio to Texas to get here. And it's been like a week down in Texas. Now it's sitting in Massachusetts. It's been sitting there for almost a week. And I don't know. I guess it's probably better because now everything has a tracking number versus the old days you just waited and then one day it showed up. So now you have a track. I don't know if it's better because I've been refreshing it several times a day. That's how good I am at waiting, right? I keep refreshing it to see if it's moved. And it hasn't. And it just drives me even more nuts. It drives me nuttier. Right? Whatever. And it's like, so I don't wait too well. And I'm not alone. The scriptures are filled with, right? This is from last week, right? David cried out, "How long, God? You know, how long is this COVID going to go on? Wait, it's 2021. We should be done by now, right? Oh, the elections, right? It's 2021. It should be all done by now. Yeah, we'll see how that's going, right? How long, Lord? How long do we have to suffer? How long do we have to wait? How long until it seems like wrong is getting away with everything? And when's justice going to happen? When, Lord? When? How long?" And David in the Psalms 13, right? He says this. He says, "How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long will my enemies be exalted over me? How long, how long, how long?" The Lord says, wait. And really the key to a lot of this is we walk by faith, not by sight. Our emotions are wonderful things. I like my emotions. I love to laugh. Sometimes I need a good cry. Yeah, I'm a manly man. I cry. I know that I need a good cry. Right? The scope of how God has wired us, emotions are a gift from God. But they can't control. And unfortunately, I think we live in a society that's very much led by its heart. I blame Disney. Right? For years they've been telling kids, follow your heart. And I've been for years saying, no, the heart is wicked and deceitful above all else. Who can know it? That's what the Bible says. But we walk by faith and not by sight. And last week we went through these verses. If you need the references for them, let me know. They're in last week's service. But it says, look, folks, the Bible tells us God hears us. So even when we feel like heaven's silent, it's not. When God doesn't hear our prayers, He does. It says God's there. God is in our presence with us through the situations. You guys know the poem about footprints in the sand, right? Going through my life, and I saw footprints in the sand at the same time. And Lord, how come when I'm going through tragedy and everything else, there's only one set of footprints? You know, God, why did you leave me? God's like, no, that's when I carried you, right? God's there. No matter how we feel, no matter what our emotions are, God's word says He is there. We walk by faith and not by sight. God understands what we're going through. You know, sometimes you ever dealt with someone who didn't know what you're going through? You know, and it's so easy for them to give platitudes. You know, I was talking to this one guy, and money was never an issue with them. They came from a family with, you know, had lots of stuff, and I was having some car problems, and he's like, well, just take it to the garage. Well, I couldn't afford to pay someone, so I'm trying to do it myself, you know. And he's like, well, I just understand. How can we just don't go get a new car? Just get rid of that piece of junk? Well, because this is all the junk I have. You know, I mean, it's like, all right, I'm doing what I can with what I had. And his encouragement to me wasn't helpful at all because he had no understanding at all. I'm on a website, and a bunch of us guys are, it's like New Year, so we're going to try to lose some weight. So there's a bunch of us chubby guys on there. So, okay, we're going to try to lose a few pounds. And so we're all sharing online. And there's one guy. He goes, well, can I join the group? Sure, yeah. He goes, well, my problem is I want to gain weight. Yeah, exactly. It's like, what? He goes, yeah, my goal is to gain 20 pounds. It's like, shut up. As a Christian, I really couldn't say that. But it's like, you know, so I stepped on the weight, you know, I lost, you know, half a pound this week. And I didn't. And he's like, yeah, he goes, I've been, he lists the meals he's eating, he's up in his calorie. And he goes, oh, he goes, I'm losing weight while I'm eating all. It's like, just shut up. Go away. Right? And then he just dropped, well, you guys can do this. He's like, no, right? You're not in my shoes. You know? He couldn't fit in my shoes. But, right? And it's like, oh, you don't understand. We have a God who understands us, the Bible says. He knows what it's like to be abandoned. He knows what it's like to be alone. He knows what it is to have friends die. He knows all of these things. He's been here. He walked on earth in our shoes. It doesn't matter what we feel. It's we walk by faith and not by sight. And the last thing we looked at last week was that God cares. God cares about you. And not like, you know, we live in, you know, this is a political season and I'm tired of all the platitudes, all the politicians. Oh, we care. No, you don't. You just want another term or you just want to, you don't know. You don't care. But God does. And He says, come boldly before His throne of grace. That you can pour out your heart to Him. You can tell him your disappointments. You know, we just talked about David, right? God, how long, right? God's got big shoulders. Tell him how you really feel. He's got broad shoulders. The first point we went through last week was talk about when it seems like God doesn't answer. The first thing we looked at, it's not God's timing. It's not God's timing. God's at work and God has a plan. God's timetable is different from ours. And so sometimes when we're praying, God, do something. He is doing something. It's just not in our time frame. Peter was addressing the early church. And what they were talking about, Lord, I thought you were coming back. Where is the Lord's return, right? And they're all eager for the Lord's return. And Peter tells them this. It says, Lord is not slack concerning His promises. As some count slackness. But is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The Lord is not slack keeping His promises. God will keep His promise. His word is true. We walk by faith, not by sight. And the problem comes in is it's not on my timetable. Right? Have you ever made a promise you couldn't keep? You know, as a father and as a husband, you know, I've made promises. You know, my daughter's really good at reminding me, but Dad, you promised. Right? Oh, you promised we were going to go this. Well, the phone just rang and someone just ended up in the hospital. I need to go. Well, Dad, you promised. Well, I didn't know this was going to happen, right? Well, God's not that way. God knows everything ahead, right? God will do what he says. He keeps his promises. Sometimes we can't keep our promises because we don't have the power or ability to do that. You know, I wish I could tell you, you know what? 2021 is going to be a better year. I promise. I can't promise you that because I have no power and I have no ability to do that. Yet God is no shortage of power. What God promises, he can follow through. But this verse tells us, why is God waiting? Because he's still drawing people to himself. God is still saving souls. You know, we have an opportunity on media and platform to get the word out. To share. And I think as this world goes crazier, I think more and more people are going to turn to God. I really hope. And look for an answer. Look for a solution through Christ. So that was the point last week. I warned you it's going to be a two-week service. So here we are. This is the second point. The first one, when heaven seems silent or when it is silent, is that one, it's not God's timing. The second one, it's the only way. Maybe the circumstance you're going through, maybe what you're praying about is the only way for God's will to be accomplished. And sometimes the road we're on doesn't have any exits. And we have to go further. And the Lord Jesus Christ is an example of this. In Matthew 26, what happens is Jesus has just been in the upper room with his disciples, and he knows the Romans are going to come and take him away. He knows that the next day they're going to take him and put him on a cross. He knew the weight of all our sins were going to put upon him, and the wrath of God would pour out. Our deserving wrath he took. And he comes into the garden, and he calls the disciples, "Please pray for me." And they all fall asleep. And while he's alone, he prays out to God, and this is what he says. And he went a little further and fell on his face, and he prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but you will." Here, Jesus Christ himself looked at what was going to come up and said, "God, is there any other way? Please, Lord, show me some other way besides the cross. But if it's the cross, then I'll do it." And I find it at this point, heaven is silent. He doesn't get an answer. You know why? Because there was no other way. That road that Christ was on led to the cross. And folks, maybe the life or which situation that you're going through now is the only way for God to work in your life or maybe someone else's. Someone pointed out, said, "Well, what if in the matter of all this, COVID and all this craziness and all the inconvenience and all the pain, what if all this, maybe, what if someone gets saved because of this? Then isn't it worth it?" And maybe it's going through this is going to force you. We've had some folks come to the church here that weren't here before. The Lord brought you here through all of the circumstances. God is working. And maybe we have to go through this to get on the other side. Now, when I was younger, I loved amusement park rides. Anyone here like roller coasters? I used to love the loopy, you know, the vomit-nators, you know, I mean these. And the older I get, I think the more I think about it, and I'm kind of losing my edge. It wasn't a roller coaster, but we were on a ride, and it was, what's the Tilt-A-World? I was trying to remember the name of it. It's like a scrambler. It's one of these rides where you go around like this, and you go like this, and it tips you, and all that. And I remember going on this and having a grand time with it, and getting the ride, and sit down, and I looked over, and I never looked at the rides before.
I didn't realize really how cheap they're made and really not much holding them together. And all I could see was I was sitting there and they pulled the bar down and I looked over where the cart I was sitting in met up with the arm that threw you all over the place. And all that was holding you was this one little pin with a little tiny little cotter pin going across here. And I looked at the guy who was running and thinking, he put this together. And I'm like, I'm a little nervous, you know, because that's not a whole lot to hold that. This whole ride could go, woo, and it'd be a totally different ride, right? And I was like, ah, and so I had to go through the ride. And anytime we're in Minnesota, we end up going to, like, the state fair there, and they have this new thing. Have you seen this? It's a ball they put you into, and they slingshot you up. And so you're free-falling. The ball is bungeed, but they shoot you up. And you just, I was like, oh. And part of me says, yeah, that looks like fun. The other half says, you're not an idiot, you know? And so I was watching videos of people doing this. And they do. They pull it back, and they shoot you up in the air. And people are passing out. People are throwing up. People are screaming. And I don't think I'm going to do it. But it's funny because once you're in there, once you're buckled up, they tell you, we cannot stop this ride. You've got to go through it. And you got to sign a waiver and everything. Any ride you got to sign a waiver with? And so you sign this waiver and they shoot you off. And it doesn't matter what you do. I was watching one video, and this one lady, her wig went off. Well, she went down the other way, you know. One guy, we haven't eaten lunch. But, I mean, it was funny because he came back and he was throwing up going backwards. And then when it came to the end, it reversed. You know? And there's no stopping. Folks, sometimes, there's a point to this. Sometimes the road that we're on, sometimes what God has called us in, there's no exit. In here, what God has done, it says, this is the road and you have to go through it for my will to be accomplished. No matter how painful, how hurtful, whatever it is, the Lord is good. He wants a good things, but sometimes we got to go through the pain and the hurt to get to do good. Does that make sense? And Jesus was that way. The Apostle Paul, at the end of his life, told Timothy this. He says, for I am ready to be poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is hand. The Apostle Paul was one of these guys we're talking about at a Bible study. You know, he'd show up in town, he'd preach, and he got beaten, he got stoned, left for dead, locked in jail. I mean, woohoo, there's a ministry. And yet, Paul, time and time again, say, okay, Lord, you've called me to share. And he'd get up, he'd dust himself off, and for the sake of the gospel, go forward. You know, we live in a society where we hear so much, well, God just wants to bless you, and God just wants to pour all this wealth upon you, and give and pour out it. And if you're a Christian, nothing bad will ever happen to you. Folks, that is not what the Bible says. But we walk by faith and not by sight. The God I trust is the God who will see me through it. God's not going to put me on a road to abandon me. But this is necessary sometimes, what we're going through. That's why James says it this way. He says, my brother, and I count it all joy when you fall into various trials. You try to say that. Right? But the trials I go through, woohoo! Yay, God! But knowing that he's working. Right? I wouldn't be where I am today if it wasn't for some bad things in my life. The circumstances in my life. Right? All these tragedies and all this hurt and all this pain, God is able to use together to make you and I who he needs us to be. And maybe the last point here is maybe it's to keep us reliant on him. I don't know about you, but this year, I think I have spent more time in prayer than I ever have. And isn't that a good thing? I mean, isn't it a shame that often it's the tragedies in our life that bring me to my knees?
And that's where God wants us. See, when things are going good, I often think, I got this, I can handle this. But it's when I get to the end of my rope is when I reach out to God. And God says, you know what? Reach out to me all the time. The Apostle Paul shared this to the Corinthians. He says, unless I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of revelation, right? The Apostle Paul, I mean, he wrote most of the New Testament. God spoke to him. Paul saw Jesus. At one point, Paul was called up into heaven for a while. Wow. And what Paul says is, you know what? To keep me humble, he had a thorn in the flesh. Now, we don't know what that was. Some speculated it was eyesight. Some mentioned other things. Maybe it was health issues. We don't know. It says, and a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. I'll tell you, having a year like we're having right now, I have felt so powerless. I've asked God more, God, give me wisdom. What should I do? What's the best way to proceed? And I've had people mad at me for things I've done, for things I haven't done, or just because everyone's mad, right? I mean, it's like, okay, Lord, in the midst of all of this, Lord, help me trust in you. But at the end of it all, you know, as crazy as this sounds, I have a peace. At the end of the day, Lord, I believe with all my heart I've done what you wanted me to do. And that doesn't line up with the world, right? The scripture talks about a peace that passes understanding, right? That's when we look around at all the facts and everything else and all the societal pressures and everything else as one thing, and yet you're like, no, I'm going to stand with God, and he gives you a peace. And that's when the world looks at us like, what's wrong with you Christians? Right? How can you be faithful to a God? Because he's faithful to me. Well, just compromise. Just give a little. I was talking to someone and we were talking about some issues. And he came out and said, well, what's your view on whatever it was? And I told him, well, the Bible says this. He goes, no, I don't care what the Bible says. He goes, what do you believe? I said, I believe the Bible. And he got really frustrated because he wanted to try to part me from what the Bible says. A lot of Christians do that. I've had a lot of conversations with Christians. So, well, what does the Bible say? The Bible says this. Yeah, but I believe this. Christian, you're out of sync. We need to line ourselves up with the Word of God. Doesn't matter what I think. Doesn't matter what my opinion is. If this is what the God says, then guess what? This is what it is. And if I suffer for it, so be it. It's for God's sake. Book of Proverbs puts it this way. It says, remove falsehood and lies far from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food allotted to me, lest I be full and deny you and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and profane the name of my God. This prayer is, Lord, just give me enough. Because if I get too much, if things are going too well, Lord, I'm going to forget about you, right? And I think a lot of Christians, we do this. Right? When things are going well, I don't need to pray as much. Oh, I got this. Right? When things are going swimmingly and everything else, oh, whoo! And where's God? We've left God behind because, you know, we really don't need him right now. We have a lady in the church that tells a story about her neighbor was going to church and praying for me. She had cancer. And she's like, you know, pray for me. And all of a sudden, one day, she stopped coming to church. And so went over and said, hey, what's going on? She goes, oh, well, I don't need God anymore. I'm better. Right? How many of us use God that way? God, I need your help when things are tough, but when things are going well. Right? And then it says, Lord, don't give me not enough that I steal and take and do things I shouldn't do. But I think at the end of the day, Lord, keep me to a place where I'm dependent on you. It's the best place we can be as Christians. And that's counterintuitive to the modern American church, because we want to be fat and happy. And no, God says, I want you to rely on me. Now, maybe you've been praying and, you know, we talk about these categories that, you know, it's not God's timing, or maybe this is the only way God's will be accomplished, or maybe he wants you to be dependent on him. But sometimes when we're praying, the fault is the way we're praying or what we're praying. And so I wanted to come up with just a quick little jot here, some reasons God doesn't seem to answer our prayers. First one is God can't go against his nature. James tells us, you ask and do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures. It says, adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy to God. And sometimes our prayers are very selfish in nature. Lord, I want a Ford Mustang. I want a 67 Mustang. Yeah, that's the year I was born. I want a 67 Mustang. I don't want the fastback. I don't like that. I just want the regular traditional back. I'd settle for black. Right? Lord, I deserve a Ford Mustang. You know what? If I had a Ford Mustang, I don't deserve a Ford Mustang. But I would probably, I don't know what I would do. And God up in heaven looks down, and Jesus looks at me and goes, you know what, we'll give him a Ford, but we'll make it a Ranger. You know, God knows what I need. You know, if I had the car of my dreams, I'd be so full of myself. And right? I mean, God looks at us and goes, sometimes what I ask for is so selfish. And sometimes it's not going to help me in my walk with the Lord. And so God doesn't answer those things. We can't answer. God won't answer prayers that go against his very nature. You know, Lord, it's 3 o'clock in the morning and my neighbor's playing really loud music. Can you send, like, a pillar of salt to climb and rain down on my neighbor's house? Right? Actually, the disciples asked about raining fire down in heaven, and that wasn't, right? That's not who God is. God doesn't answer those prayers sometimes. One of the things we need to know, too, is we live in a broken world. Being a Christian doesn't make us exempt from the pain of this world. And somewhere, I think that philosophy's really come into, that somehow I think because I'm a Christian, bad things won't happen to me. We won't get sick. That I think we've seen with the COVID. You know what? Christians can catch COVID because it's in this world. We live in a fallen, broken world. Jesus says this, it says, "In you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven, for he makes the sun rise on evil and on the good, and he sends rain on the just and on the unjust." We live in a world where bad things happen to good people. That's the world we're in. Now, praise God that someday Jesus is going to come. He's going to set his kingdom here on earth, and there'll be no more curse, there'll be no more sin, no more sorrow, and then all those things will be accomplished. But until then, we are in a broken world. It's filled with diseases. It happens. It's filled with death. It happens. And being a Christian doesn't make us immune from it. Years ago, when my wife was going through a stillbirth, I was so angry at God. And we were telling him, Lord, you know, I've been a pastor. I've given up everything to serve you. God, you owe me this. How foolish, because you know what? God doesn't owe me anything. And I looked at what the birth defect was. It was a very common birth defect. Of course, you know, most people don't realize it until you go through it, but it was a very common issue that we had. And in a way, I kind of kicked back and said, okay, Lord, your will be done. And I'll tell you, when we look at the broken world and we feel the effects of that broken world, I don't know about you, for me, it just longs for that day when we'll be with Jesus. The Bible also tells us sometimes because of our prayers, we reap what we sow. And this is probably a tough one to swallow because, I want to be immune from the consequences of my actions. The Bible says this, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever man sows, that he also will reap. For he who sows to his flesh will reap to his flesh corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart." The Bible says we reap what we sow. You know, if I go through town here at 80 miles an hour and I wipe out, should I be angry with God because I broke my leg or... No, it's my consequences for what I've done. You know, if you take a child and never let them suffer the consequences of what they do, they'll be a spoiled kid. Right? Now, I grew up in a slightly different generation from, you know, than some. I mean, I grew up with parents who told me not to run, and when I ran and I fell down and I hurt myself, they didn't come running over and say, "Oh, poor John." You know what they told me? "I told you so. If you would have listened." Right? You know, "Don't touch the stove." We lived in a house, the only heat source we had, a wood stove. And one day we discovered that we came in and, you know, we put our shoes up by the stove to warm up because we were out playing in our shoes instead of boots, and they were soaking wet. And so, you know, we thought, "Oh, this is fun." And then we found out if we put the rubber of our soles onto the wood stove, it would go, "Psh!" And, "Oh, this is cool." So we're like, "Shh." Well, we didn't realize that by doing that, we were actually melting the rubber on the bottom of our shoes. And so when it was done, they were really ugly, and it was like, "Mom, we need new shoes." I was like, "We can't afford new shoes." "Well, what were you supposed to do with these?" "We wore them." It's like, right? And I was like, "Well, no, because, you know, kids make fun of us." And I was like, "Well, guess what? You won't do it next time," right? I mean, our parents would be arrested for DHS would be investigating us for how we were raised. Right? But one thing that was really pushed on us, that look, there were consequences for what you do. And I'm thankful for that. I'm glad I learned that. I mean, at the time, as a kid, I wasn't. And I think we live in a society where so many people are so immune and we work so hard to keep people from suffering the consequences of their sin. What happens is they need to go further and further into it. Well, God's a good father. Now, don't get me wrong, because God is merciful, and there's things that God gives us His grace that, you know what? I deserved so many more consequences than what I got, because God's been gracious in my life. But sometimes, God says, "You know what? You made your bed. You're going to live in it for a while, so that you learn." Last one up. Sometimes God doesn't seem to answer our prayers. Just really see how we treat each other. You know, it's hard to believe that we can say, "You know what? My relationship with Christ is just between me and God." And a lot of people are this way. You know, I've talked to a lot of people. "I don't go to church. I don't want to be involved in church. It's just a personal relationship with me and God." And while some of the aspects of that are true, look, we're part of a family. God has called the church. This is the bride of Christ. You know, don't diss the bride. And so in here, how we relate to each other, how we treat each other, God notices. And He wants us to get along. John tells us in 1 John 4:20, it says, "As if one says, 'I love God,' and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, how can he love God, whom he has not seen?" God says, look, love each other. God says, you love me? Show it by loving each other and how you treat one another. And I think we have a long way to go today, because of what I'm seeing on social media, folks, we have no idea how to treat each other. Christians. Jesus says this in Matthew, says, therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go your way. First be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gifts. Right? God says, look, before you come to me, work things out with each other first. Now, I grew up in a home, we had four boys. And right around, I'd say I was probably about 13, so my brothers were like 12 and 9. There was a whole lot of testosterone, hormones going on, and we fought. I mean, we didn't fight, like, hey, yeah, we fought. And there's a period of time, like one summer, I don't know, we were just wild savages. We were out in the backyard constantly throwing punches and tackling each other. And I remember one point we're out there and I was just wailing on my brother and he was wailing on my other brother. And we were just back there. And we were as hard as we could. I mean, we were holding back. And my mom came down and she'd grab us by the ears, you know, and she'd drag us up. And my mom was scary. And she'd bring us all up. And I remember her in tears looking at us. And we were just, like I said, bloody noses and swollen eyes. And she goes, you guys are breaking my heart. She goes, I'm your mother. You are all my children. I want you to all get along. Right? How we treated each other hurt my mom. How much more so do you think God, our Heavenly Father, is hurt how we behave towards other Christians? That the person that we're bickering with, we're fighting with, all these things, that he died on the cross for them. And we want to treat them like trash. God says, no, you work things out a lot before you come to me. And sometimes God doesn't seem to hear our prayers because of the issues we have with one another. Peter goes even further here. He goes, husbands, likewise, dwell with them with understanding, talking about your wives, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. Now, this is interesting because we don't have the reverse of this in Scripture. And it's interesting because, you know, we talk about, the Bible says, well, the man's head of the home. Ooh, ooh, I like that. Ooh. Right? And wives are called to submit to their husbands. Ooh, 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 yeah, I like that. Preach it, brother. But what God says here is, hey, guy, remember, your wife, she's my daughter. Be careful how you treat her. He says, look, don't you come to me and treat her bad. You know, as a father, you know, I have girls. I have one that's married. If my son-in-law treated my daughter bad, ooh. You know, I got this one, and, you know, she's, what, 11? So in about 30 years, when she starts dating, I'll talk, you know. I want to make sure that whoever comes into her life treats her good, because it's my kid. And this is a real rebuke, especially to you husbands. God says, you treat them well. Don't come to me. I won't hear you. You know, as we turn around and look at all these things when heaven seems silent, God's not. Sometimes it's yes, sometimes it's no, sometimes it's wait. We look at all these things and we need to remember we walk by faith and not by sight. And sometimes this is the only way God's will be accomplished. Sometimes it's waiting on His timing. Maybe it's for us to just depend on Him. All these things, folks. He tells us to come boldly before His throne of grace. To pray. Even when we don't feel like it, pray. Even when we feel like He doesn't hear us, pray. Folks, the Bible says pray without ceasing. May we be people of prayer. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank You. Lord, we thank You for Your word that is true no matter how I feel. Lord, help me to walk by faith and not by sight. Lord, help me to know that you hear. Lord, help me to be patient to wait upon you. Lord, help me to work on the relationships with one another. Oh, Lord, every step of the way, to be dependent upon you in prayer. Lord, we ask these things in your name. Amen.